After three, good afternoon to you, 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 and you. Thank you so much for staying with 95.1 Nigeria Info. You're so incredible, really awesome for choosing this frequency, 95.1, this radio station, to lend your voice, to contribute on national issues and other issues that we table before you. And I can't thank you enough for making us rock. So thank you so much for staying with us, enough to stay with Hard Facts. My name is Kimberly Nwachukwu. You can call me Kim. Or the Oracle, and you will be correct. My hat is broken. Sir L is temporary off Hard Facts for now, I've been told. Rude shock. All right, so you will catch him on the morning crossfire tomorrow with Dr. Femi D live. It means that I will be flying solo for the next few weeks, but I know I got you and you got me, so I'm in good company, I've been told. And yes, perfect company, because my guest for the 3 o'clock hour is already comfortably seated in the studio. I was worried initially when we were talking and he said he was at a filling station queuing up for fuel. I said, oh dear God. I hope you'll be able to get this fuel before 3 o'clock, because you know when somebody tells you that the fuel station from 12 o'clock, your heart starts to palpate. Like, would he make it before 3 o'clock? Because I've been on the queue for 3 hours. At the 3 hour, the third hour, I gave up. I surrendered literally to, like, you know what? You guys beat me. I can't do more than 3 hours on this queue. But I know how difficult it is for a lot of people. But I'm excited. My guest is here, and we have with us in the studio Mr. Chuks Ogwege. He's the director of publication Nigerian Pilot newspaper. Thank you so much, sir, for making it on the roundtable today.
Good afternoon. Always my pleasure being here.
Always a delight having you here. And I'm glad you got the fuel. The minute you came into the studio, one of the first questions in my head was like, I hope, sir, that you got your fuel. And thank God.
Yeah, I did. That's where we are in this country now. I spent hours there, and it was quite a
productive man hours.
A harrowing experience. Incidentally, the man I was following, the cab driver, we spent over 3 hours on the queue, and when we got to the fuel pump, he paid only for 1,600 worth of fuel.
Wow.
Okay, he spent all these hours there. I'm a daily man. This is the much I can afford. When I spend this, I come back. 4 hours on the queue, and this is what this country has been reduced to.
Wow. I mean, you start to wonder, if you do 4 hours and you buy that amount, it means that in less than 4 hours, you are back on the queue.
Very well.
And then that man, it would not be fair to tell the man to take the old price. At this point in time, the price must have gone up by some percentage.
Making my way to this place, hundreds of persons were at the various
filling stations,
bus stops.
Yeah.
There were no vehicles, there were no cars, there were no buses. So if you are able to procure petrol, any amount you tell them, if you can afford it, you go. If you can't, you wait.
I mean, even when I close from work, I still see tons of people out on the road. It tells you not enough vehicle to ferry them.
That is the situation where we are. And there are no public buses that will push people around. And if you are moving from here to Kubwa, after the VIO test center, you see about 120 Abuja, we call it Rufai buses. Mm-hmm. They've been there for God knows how long. Nobody's even looking their way to put them back to use, and people are suffering. You look at the Abuja Nyanya way, the route there, the thousands that come from that place day and night.
Mm.
Remember, the minister of FCT promised FCT indigenous that the Abuja Karshi road will be done within the first 6 months of his being in office. He's been there for almost 7 years, and we are still telling stories.
Oh, well, it seems like we just keep going around the same issues, the same concern over and over, and which is really troubling for me, particularly this fuel scarcity. And given what's happening in Russia and how the price of fuel, crude oil, is going up. And as a matter of fact, today he said that the price fell. Oil prices on Tuesday plummeted over 6% amid hopes for progress to end Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Brent crude, global oil benchmark, fell to $99.98 a barrel, while West Texas Intermediate plunged to $96.31 a barrel. This is the lowest since February 2028. There was one time it was going up and we were worried, are we going to benefit from it? But since we import refined petroleum product, there was no way we're going to benefit maximally from it, because we're still going to spend a lot of money to bring imported one into the country. And then there will always be this conversation about landing costs and paying the difference between it, or since subsidy is still... The reason why we're on this queue for starter was the whole subsidy, no subsidy remover. That was the initial trigger before adulterated fuel was thrown in the mix, before, you know, Russia and every other issues that can be counted on brought, you know, presented itself at this point in time. And in spite of the promises from the NNPC, it just does not look like there's any reprieve in view. Yes, NNPC had said all NNPC stations will sell for 24 hours, but I know the one closest to us that doesn't stay 24 hours. I'm done from work, 7:30, I'm out of the studio environment, and they're closed already sometimes. So, we're in for a long
haul. It's all well and good to give these directives, but in the real sense of it, who follows it up to make sure that these things have been implemented? Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a problem between Russia and Ukraine. Yeah, it's affecting the world economy, crude in particular. But if we had looked ahead, not this government, even the ones before it, we would have gotten out of the wood, or we have our reserves and have our refineries put in place. But as we speak now, you and I know that the four refineries, they've been in doldrums for years. We've budgeted billions of naira for turnaround maintenance. Nobody is accounting for it. Those who imported the bad fuel into our system, well, they say they will punish them. I've not seen anybody being prosecuted. They say those who cars are affected, that government will find a way to make amends and remedy the things as we speak. Nobody has gotten a dime from there. So it's just a mix, and the people are just going down the valley every other day.
Quite sad, and that isn't all. I hate to just break this to you. Even aviation fuel is scarce. That airlines were putting out warnings and statements saying, oh, we're going to disrupt flight. Oh, we just have 78 more hours to go and then we'll be grounded. Well, we hear that the government is already talking about subsidizing the price for them, 500 naira, so that it can keep moving. And the latest is, the Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation Limited says it will grant a license to the airline operators of Nigeria to start importing aviation fuel, otherwise known as ATK. Mele Kyari, Group Managing Director, NNPC, disclosed this on Monday at the end of the investigative hearing instituted by the House of Representatives. The meeting was to resolve the differences between oil marketers and airline operators on the price surge of ATK. Airline operators in Nigeria had alleged that some oil marketers were hoarding aviation fuel, thereby causing artificial scarcity. As requested by the airline operators of Nigeria, they will be granted license by the authority to import petroleum product, particularly ATK, so they can have a way of benchmarking the sales from other customers. They can also bring in cheaper product whenever it's possible, Kyari said in the statement. And he said this in response to the request by AON during the hearing to grant airlines a license to import aviation fuel. Allen Onyema, chairman of AP, said airline operators could import aircraft that cost millions of dollars. They would not find it difficult to import the aviation fuel they need. And he emphasized that if the oil marketers do not bring down commodity prices, airlines could be grounded in 3 days. So, could be grounded in 3 days if we don't have aviation fuel. NNPC is saying we can grant you the leeway to import the aviation fuel that you need. Help me understand really where we are with this situation, because it feels like something, we're not in control of something at this point in time.
We are taking the shortcut to nowhere. When you begin to grant licenses to individuals to import aviation fuel, you are not talking about the standardization. the quality of what they bring into the country. You know the worst thing that will happen to this country? When our skies are not safe. We cannot go back to the...
But you think the airline would want to jeopardize their business and compromise standard enough to bring something...
Those who...
I beg your pardon. We need to go on a quick break.
The community popular jingle has just heard a rumor.
Bring a sophisticated aircraft into the country and want to compromise on aviation fuel. But on the other hand, does it look like Nigeria is in absolute control and orderly in saying, okay, we're going to grant you a license, bring your fuel and do your business?
A simple route, a simple answer to it is it appears that nobody's in control. Because it's not supposed to be this way.
Mm.
The airline owners, operators, they gave 72 hours deadline. And we've taken the first 24 hours, remaining 48 hours.
Mm.
If they give the licenses, who gets the licenses? Where do would they procure the aviation fuel from? Who does the checking?
Mm.
This is exactly the same problem we had with importation of refined crude. And some persons
brought in
adulterated fuel. And this is where we are. If our skies become unsafe, that means that it's added problems.
Mm.
You see, we cannot just fold our hands. Because the way things are going in this country, we are posturing like a country teetering at the failed end state. Because there must be order, there must be control, there must be persons we have to hold responsible. If NNPC Limited wants to do this job, they should do it, and we know who to hold responsible if anything goes wrong.
Because the initial impression was NNPC was the sole importer.
Absolutely, that's what we were told.
To find out that they had other people contracted.
Yes, now they want to subcontract this. And my worry is, what will be the quality of what is going to come in? How do we vouch for it?
Mm.
Now, they went to Belgium and got some bad fuel into the system. Who knows where these other guys are going to go to procure this? If your car jerks and stops, at least you are safe. You park.
Mm.
But when that happens mid-air, what happens to those who are on board? These are the issues. And we cannot continue to talk with the lives of Nigerians who work in day and night to eke out a living. And if you are privileged to be the type that flies, you are not sure how you're going to touch down.
All right. I see that some northern group are calling for the sack of certain people, like the bosses of NNPC, NMDPRA bosses, and asking that they should be sacked. Not in good control of the situation at the moment. We've had fuel scarcity going for a very long time. This has been about the third month. In the federal capital started about the middle of January. We're having aviation fuel scarcity. How is it even possible that we're totally out of control at this point, spiraling to a point where you're telling airlines will give you license to import fuel on your own, and nobody is owning up and taking responsibility at this point in time, except for perhaps the international price of fuel that is going up. We are not in control in the country. Refining petroleum product, we've not been able to achieve that, unfortunately. So isn't there a price to be paid?
Yeah,
but let's not forget the minister is the president is the minister of petroleum.
If we are to be a very serious country, as we speak, heads must have rolled and would have said, people are coming to say, okay, my president in office was fired for so and so. But here, nothing gets done. Don't forget that Mr. President equally doubles as the minister of petroleum.
Mm.
So he has to show direction. He has to take responsibility. He has to wear the big stick when the need arises. We've done this fuel shortage for 6 weeks, going to the 7th week. As we speak now, our president is still in London for his medical tourism. It is quite unfortunate, and we had expected. The fellows who are calling for May Kiari's sack or removal, whatever they are requesting for, don't they know that he reports to some persons? Some persons should sit down and take responsibility.
Group under the aegis of the Arewa Youth Alliance for Development. They are the ones who are saying...
There are very many amorphous groups that people sit in one place and give a name.
Exactly.
And that happens. My concern is that, look, Mr. President has been president for almost 7 years. Is there anything written in the books that you must continue with those ministers you started in 2015? Are there no better persons? Can't you review a parade? Yeah, he's a military man. He will understand what I mean by when I say, can't you review a parade? Can't you get some other persons on board when things are not working? All facets, all sectors of the economy are on a downhill. And he feels that all is well.
some fellows are doing some jamboree going to London to consult him about his party APC. He has to come back and all hands must be on deck. If the guys you have been on board with for the past 7 years are not working, in the name of God, look for some other persons. Look at ASUU, for instance. They've gone on strike again.
Extended it by eight weeks.
Look at the labor. All at every turn, things are just going down by the day. And we pretend nothing is happening. It's quite unfortunate. This was not the promise Nigerians were given in 2014-2015. And as we run up to the 2023 election, Nigerians should look out for their PVC. And when somebody puts himself forward that I want to rule, I want to run for an office, we must have to begin to interrogate certain issues. Who is this person? What does he stand for? What can he do? It is no longer the media, painting the person in the best of colors and presenting the person, and Nigerians will now say, okay, there are promises and we don't care about that. Let the person get into office. We have seen where that left us in the past 7-8 years. We have to make amends and we have to work for a better Nigeria.
Well, we do have a major energy crisis on so many levels on our hand. Yesterday, we couldn't stop talking about the national grid collapse, even though some part of it to address Abuja has been dealt with. But we're looking at a nationwide blackout. So if you're talking about changing minister, I mean, the Minister of Power is just a few months in and it's still grappling with the issues in the sector where he is. So at some point, it doesn't look like it's just remove one person and bring in the next person.
But don't forget that someone was overburdened with responsibilities, giving power, giving housing, giving works. These are three great aid ministries and was given to one person for almost 6 years. So the new persons who are coming in, they must have to grapple until they get a hold on what is going on. Fundamentally, a mistake was committed at the initial in 2015.
All right, as we continue to deal with the energy crisis in the country, the parties also have their own crisis to contend with. Sir, you mentioned the APC in passing and the groups that went to Mr. President. And the President is saying that we need to put our house in order or else we'll see the opposition taking over. And some people are even concerned even intervention by the President is going to address the problem of the APC at this point in time. The crisis rocking the All Progressive Congress seem not to be nearing any end soon. President Buhari had a few days ago reportedly approved the removal of Maimala Buni as the chairman of the APC caretaker committee and ordered Governor Bello Sani of Niger State to take over the affairs of the state. The decision of the president to intervene in the affairs of the party has set off reactions that threatened the planned national convention. Rather than members of the party to close rank, the tussle within the party has intensified. Last week, Governor Rotimi Akeredolu of Ondo State called some APC governors yawu, while Buni and Bello have been engaging in power tussle. Governor Nasiru El-Rufai had also claimed that the president had approved the removal of Buni and alleged that Yobe State governor was the victim of certain persons within the party. El-Rufai was speaking on Politics Today on Channel TV, said the Buni-led committee had received a court order barring it from carrying out the convention but refused to make the order public. And further, INEC had rejected the notice of NEC meeting of the party unless Buni signs the letter of notification. El-Rufai also claimed that the president had given the governors the name of the preferred candidate for the position of the national chairman, and the man is from North Central. According to several sources, the former governor of Nasarawa State, Abdullahi Adamu, is the preferred choice of Mr. President. Tanko Almakura, also a former governor of Nasarawa State and a contender for the position of national chairman, has refused to back down for the president's choice. In the midst of the crisis, President Buhari, in a statement by senior special advisor on media and publicity, Garba Shehu, stirred the nest when he said the APC is drifting towards the path of the PDP, a party he said failed for 16 years and also failed as an opposition. And Austin Okai, a member of the PDP, fled the president for the comment, noting that the PDP had been able to always resolve its crisis because he had internal conflict resolution mechanism. And we're going to get to the arm of the PDP because we're not so sure about the internal conflict mechanism that the PDP is talking about. I mean, we've been seeing the banters and the bickering between the governor of River State, the governor of Edo State, and he has brought in the governor of Enugu State in the mix, saying you don't control the party, you don't control the judiciary, you contain yourself. It tells you that the two big parties are in need of resolving internal conflict issues. But let's start off with the APC here.
Yeah.
Do you think an intervention by the president can fix the problem? Or is this just something we always see when there's a big election coming up? The parties trying to readjust themselves.
Actually, it's all about interest. 2023 is around the corner, and every politician will want to have a space in the table where the cake will be shared. This, the build up to it. So they have to nudge each other, elbow each other, have this disagreements to arrive to at a set end. Mm. But the thing is that, thankfully, we are beginning to evolve as a democracy. The role INEC played in this APC saga is quite defining. Mm. And that shows you that we are beginning to have strong institutions.
Yeah.
That letter from INEC saved the situation. We will not recognize anybody except the person constitutionally recognized by your party.
Mm.
That poured cold water on all the crises and the schemings. Coming to Mr. President, he is the leader of the party, rightly or wrongly. There's no debate about it. He's the leader of the party. He has to have a foothold on what is going on in the party. It is not what you want some groups to come and advise you. Mm. You now come. So, but the problem with APC, the much I know from as an outsider, is that the internal organs are not there. They have not been able to get them working. I mean, National Executive Committee, the National Working Committee, the Board of Trustees. These things are not, because at every level, these organs of the party, they play the defining role in making sure that the party works well and there is peace, resolution of things. It is not when the crises are there, you go and bring one interested party to come and mediate. No, it's not done that way. So we look forward to March 26. Hopefully that national convention will hold and they will have a recognized national working committee. And all these other statutory bodies will now come on board to help the national working committee so that they can begin, whether we like it or not, APC is the ruling party in Nigeria as we speak today. But if you talk about PDP, PDP have all these organs. They have their own problems too. You can't have a political party without problems because it is a human organization. And at the center of it is interest and power.
Yeah.
Somebody, they have to tussle for it. Power is not given. Power is taken. So if the rules are laid out, it makes it a lot easier. But the problem with APC, the rules don't seem to be laid out. Until they get their rules laid out, and persons get to know these are the rules guiding us, and these are our leaders, defined leaders, they may not, they will still be in the woods.
Mm. But you know, some people will say we've seen this play out before. We've seen it when PDP was around. We're seeing to the APC. These parties are not learning. The same thing happens because we still have the same crop of politicians saying, playing exactly the same old politics we know in Nigeria. And that's why half the time when they have a big election coming and you see this interest playing out and the threat to, I mean, we saw this with the PDP enough that before the convention or during the convention, some people walked away from the party and formed a new PDP, which
that
later
was run
merged.
Up, run up to 2015
which later merged with the APC.
Yeah.
And that faction itself is still, even within the APC, I've had a good number of them have had to move out. Saraki and the likes of them have had to leave. It tells you
that is why some of us are so happy with the ruling of the Federal High Court. We are looking at, we are following it, so that that ruling must get to the Supreme Court. Let the Supreme Court make a pronouncement so that we fear in a, on a political platform and people trust you and cast their votes for you. That vote is not for you. That vote is for that political party and you cannot leave them midstream. So pending when Supreme Court, because I know that matter is going to get to the Supreme Court, pending when that pronouncement is made, we'll get to know how are we faring. Because it is quite unfortunate someone gets into office on the platform of PDP, midstream, he goes to APC, somehow before he starts out, he comes back to PDP. No, we must have parties that have ideologies. We must have parties that are, those who are on the platform are enduring, whether it is good or bad. Okay, PDP had it for 16 years, APC, or the other parties then, they were out there in the cold, but they waited and they formed their own amalgamation and come up with APC and wrest the power from PDP. For the past 7 years, going to 8 years, PDP has been in the cold. Day to day, are putting their acts together to see if they can grab power back in 2023. But we are saying that if you are in a party, there must be rules that will put you there. Because you go to the electorate with a manifesto. This is what I'm going to do for you. Mm. This is our ideology. We believe in this. And they say, okay, this is our man, this is our woman, and we are following you. We cast our votes, and you hold it in trust for us. You can't midway ditch them. I don't think it is right. But as I said, let's wait for the court. The Supreme Court must make a pronouncement on this, and I want to think that that will be a defining moment in Nigerian political history.
Oh, well, you know, a lot of people, and good thing we'll be having a conversation with a legal practitioner at the 5 o'clock hour, looking at the position of the law. Yes, I know a precedent can be set, you know, for that pronouncement to shift how things are perceived and others will align themselves in line with whatever comes out of the Supreme Court. But, you know, we've been having back and forth debate as to what is provided for now and what other judgments have been. Can you remove a man from office based on defection? I mean, that's even the stand of the Ebonyi State Governor at this point in time, like unheard of.
Actually,
but then you could always hear of something new, and that's why we wait for the Supreme Court and that precedent to be setting up.
That is why it's called the Supreme Court. That's why it is called in the first place. They are law unto themselves, so they can make a new pronouncement, and that remains becomes the law. So whatever it is, let's keep our gunpowder dry until a formal pronouncement is made on this matter. No two ways about it.
All right, and maybe that's why the Rivers State governor was really livid and upset when the deputy governor of Edo State alluded to, or did mention in passing, implied rather, that, you know, options are open. If the PDP is not half as welcoming, they might as well just... Here's the door. They will see themselves out. And the governor was really livid in saying, an ordinary deputy governor. You could show his anger. It was a little condescending when he was saying that, as to saying, how dare you?
I guess politics will be played by men of honor. Honor, not just in appearance, honor in the words you speak. Because those are the things that you'll be remembered for. Across the political divide, the political class, those who are dictating what you and I are following now, I want to offer this advice free of charge. What they say, they have to weigh whatever they say, public pronouncements, because it speaks for you. Some of these posturings are not posturings people of such elevated offices are. It does not speak well for our democracy. The Edo State governor versus his reverse counterpart. Well, to me, I think he's providing comic relief. That is the much.
We shouldn't dwell on
much.
I mean, with this poor scarcity and national greed collapse,
you need to make yourself happy so that your DP will be under control.
But then, as much as you want to see the comical side of it, these are people who are holding so much power. The politics affect the governance also. We know that some have not been able to separate politics from governance in Nigeria. And so when we're not in absolute control of it, or the people who are in control of the politics and governance space are not, you know, concentrating on what it should be, it takes away from us also as a people.
Absolutely.
So as much as we want to laugh about it, there's some element of it that we should be concerned, because we're always talking about internal party democracy and the likes of it, how people come up through the ranks, do we have strong men within this party who are in absolute control of it, and what that means generally for politics and the political party and governance in the country.
I talked about honor, I talked about integrity, I talked about strong institutions.
True.
How would it look like? You left APC, you came to power on the platform of PDP, and you want to go back to APC. What explanation are you going to give them? And every 4 years, those at the National Assembly, they make some budgetary allocations to them for them to review the constitution. Nobody has thought about it in 22 years, 23 years, to make sure that those who are elected as governors do not ditch the parties on which, the platforms on which they were elected. And they keep talking about some other things. I'm not saying that those things are not important, but there are certain things that must be put in that constitution so that we can put a hold on some of these things. We don't need to go to Supreme Court for the Supreme Court to decide. Don't forget, we had the same problem. The drafters of the constitution never envisaged that they would have a time that we should have an acting president. When Yar'Adua died, there was a vacuum, there was a lacuna. And men of reason, the then CJN, the Senate president, and all other stakeholders, they came together and said, how do we resolve this? The Senate had to move, the National Assembly had to move and bring in Section 145 that allowed Jonathan to act and to succeed Yar'Adua. These are some of the things we need to do. Our democracy is work in progress. There are still loopholes, and there are still things in our constitution that must be put before the law for us to know whether it can work or it cannot work. So it's work in progress.
All right, let's open up the phone lines. There are lots of people each in to contribute on the stories that we've looked at so far. Feel free to call us up and let's get your take. 0700-951-0000. That's 0700-951-0000. Remember, it's 1 minute only, tops. You just mention your name, where you're calling from, and go straight to your point so that you use your time wisely. And please remember to ensure that you're civil in making your contribution. Try and respect the opinion of others, even though you can beg to disagree. And no hate speech or fake news on our platform. Let's get straight to the phone line to hear from you. Hello? Hello? Okay. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. Let's try another call out. Hello? Hello? Okay. Seem to be having the entire phone lines are buzzing, but the calls are not coming through. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Oh, this is great. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Alassane Takame Dola from Gwendera Kavioka, from Nasarawa State.
Go ahead, Alassane.
Yeah, I agree with you, yes. I want to go with the issue of court and Supreme Court or appeal court and the issue of the calm from another party to another party. Why court get this privilege? Because of Mr. President just said, like, if you former administration, if you go to court about any judgment in political issue, no judge, you can judge that case like that. Because I assure you, it is during PDP, they are going to transfer that judge quick. Bye bye for now.
Which case do you know of Alassane Medola in which was transferred quickly? Can you cite an example, sir? Can you cite an example of a judge who was transferred quickly in the last administration?
Yes.
Go on.
Because I want to assure you.
All right, we're waiting for an example, sir. Hello. Good afternoon. Okay, I seem to be having problems from some of the lines. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello.
You're welcome to the show.
My name is Okwi from Akamata.
Okwi, I'm aware that you're being suspended, banned as a matter of fact, so your opinion will not be entertained this afternoon. Let's hear from another caller. Hello. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, the Oracle.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon, our guest.
Good afternoon.
A wonderful contribution.
Thank you, sir.
Honestly, what you rightly talk about, this defection of a team. Honestly, how are we, the National Assembly, we amend that in their law? I don't see the reason. You are voted in APC. All of a sudden, you decamp to PDP. Or you are voted in ABGA, you decamp to APC. It's not supposed to be so. If they will do that, I'm telling you, it will stop all these political, I don't know how to call them. They do that. They don't have ideology. That is the problem. If they can do that, I'm telling you, it's going to be good. And in the aspect of wealth, you can imagine our refineries are not working. They have made promises that our refinery will work. This is the time that Nigeria will make a huge money in dollars. But you can imagine, reverse is the case. As I'm telling you, this wealth scarcity will continue. The way I'm seeing it today, you will see a little bit relief. The next day, you see, even walk around the town today, you see a lot of queue everywhere.
Mm.
This is the country that we are in river, but the soap is entering our eyes.
All right.
The needful should be done. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that, Selassie. Please, when you call, introduce yourself and make your contribution. Hello? Hello, good afternoon. Hello? Oh dear. We seem to be. We might begin to entertain calls via WhatsApp, seeing that this line is acting up a little. Hello? Good afternoon? Oh dear. Hello?
Hello, Kim.
Good afternoon.
I'll meet your guest. My name is Morris.
All right, Morris.
Speaking from Guarimpa.
Go ahead, Morris, from Guarimpa.
You see all this constitutional crisis and amendments since 1999, they have been amending constitution. and the amendments are what I'll call selective. The UK has no written constitution. Do you hear of any constitutional crisis from the UK? So our own, that is because most of our leaders, they lack morals, they lack conscience, they lack empathy, they lack compassion, they lack character. That is why it is a big problem. That is our, they will say they will use 1 billion to amend 2 lines. They will use 10 billion to amend just 2 lines. They amendment every day, amendment of constitution. So to what end? Thank you very much.
Mm. All right. Maurice has left a lingering question there. Hello.
Hello, this is Nelson calling from Jabi.
Nelson from Jabi. Go ahead, sir. Let's talk.
Yeah, I have a question. Mine is, isn't to a breach of freedom of association.
Isn't what a what?
Isn't to a breach of one's freedom of association
if
not to allow a governor to move parties?
Okay.
Isn't a breach, because these are not the best of times, and folks that voted for the individual primarily, and then secondly the party.
Well, if you're going by how it's positioned, there's no room for individual candidacy, so technically you're voting for the party, not the individual, because he's not an individual as a candidate. It's the logo of the party that you see when you go to vote, isn't it?
Okay.
I'm just putting that aspect out also. Thank you so much, Nelson.
Okay, then. My pleasure.
Well, Nelson is concerned about freedom of association. If I want to associate with the other party, should I not be at liberty to just and then let's take this call and get your thoughts on it before we take more calls. Hello? All right. You want to respond to that, sir?
Actually, in the Constitution, yeah, there is a provision for freedom of association.
Does it apply in this context?
It does not. It does not in the real sense of it, because you are holding the trust of persons.
Mm.
They feel that you can do the job. You came on a platform of a political party, you canvassed for their support, and they voted for that political party. When you go to vote on a polling day, what you see are the logos of the political parties and not pictures of individuals. Therefore, you are holding that in trust for them, and when you want to leave, if you must leave, it's only those who are in National Assembly. I know Section 68, Subsection 1G gives them the latitude to move or to dump one party for the other, but there are reasons that must occur for you to activate that Section 68, 1G of the Constitution. But for the governors, it is not there. But is it morally right for them to move? These are the issues, as I said earlier, these are the issues that the court, especially now that we've passed the Federal High Court, they are on appeal. Mm. When appeal hears that matter, I am convinced that matter will get to the Supreme Court, and that will be it will set the precedent.
All right, let's look at this thoughts coming from this caller. Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Onyeba.
Onyeba.
I'm calling from Nyanya.
Okay.
Conscience is what is lacking. Because if we were to run a democracy, I did not even see the possibility of somebody jumping from one party to another at will. It is sad and disheartening, and we feel we are running a democracy because people do what they like. No rule, no. But until the people begin to adhere to party, retreat to party and go by the rule, then we are not running a democracy, we are just playing. God bless Nigeria.
God bless Nigeria. Thank you very, very much. Let's get to hear from this caller. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yeah, Chuks, I meet you.
Good afternoon.
This is Casey from Life Camp.
Go ahead, Casey.
I differ with my very good friend Chuks on the application made by airline operators for license to import their fuel. The importation of fuel, forget the fraud that happened and went untreated. The importation of fuel of all type is a highly regulated transaction where there's a violation of standard at offtake and discharge is a standard practice. It's only in Nigeria that standards are not complied with. So if they have shown proof that they have the capacity, the core competencies and the resource to bring their aviation fuel, and it is going to help them to deliver on their mandates and business interests, I think there is nothing wrong in credentialing them and making sure they meet the requirement that those who are currently providing it for them has, so they can solve the middleman challenge that is creating problems for us in country.
All right.
Let me just say this. If you go to Supreme Court judgment on Amaechi, the Supreme Court expressly said that it is the parties who own votes, not the individual. It is clear in the Supreme Court judgment.
All right. Thank you very much. You wanted to say something, sir?
Yeah, actually, it's the lack of trust.
Okay.
On that, who brings in this product. That is why we have this problem now. If the authority in charge can do their work as expected, we don't need third parties. So my worry as an individual, as a Nigerian, as a patriot, is our sky is safe when these third parties begin to be given this opportunity to import this product. And more importantly, why can't we fix our refineries, even if it is one?
For me, it's almost getting very emotional when we talk about this refinery thing. It's just the same thing I feel about PAR. After all these years and all the talks and all the monies and all the commitment and the pledge, I mean, if you follow people who are coming now and indicating interest, you've already started hearing talks, I will fix the PAR problem. I would... On God's green earth, there are countries that do not have this problem. And I'm thinking, how is it that we've not learned from them how to fix this problem? And I'm not talking about developed, sophisticated countries. I'm talking even countries here in Africa. And now we're upset that our passport is less than that of Chad and Niger Republic in the hierarchy of passports. Immigration is frowning at it. That how can Nigerian passports be less than Chad and Niger? But, you know, there are a lot of factors that come together to just underprice us.
I told you here during one of my comments that Nigeria is at the teetering end of being a failed state. In the Committee of Nations, are we still being taken seriously? These are the issues. The indicators are there. A governor of Niger State is busy. He's happy. He wants to come here to be the national chairman of the party. Better part of his state is under control of bandits. The man who has been Abuja for over 2 years now as acting national chairman of APC, that's the Yobe governor. What is the state of Yobe? And the people of this state, either they are sleeping or they don't give a damn what's happening around them, and things are just going from bad to worse. It's just difficult. Look at the number. We have 81 federal universities, 81 universities. All of them, the lecturers, they've done down to. They've done 4 weeks. They're going to do another 8 weeks. And we don't care that much. Go and look at budgetary allocations for education. They have never had 9% allocation in the past 7 years. It was even bad 2 years ago. They got 6.5% of the total allocation. How do you want them to manage? How do you want them to survive? And a country that does not take that demography of its population seriously, then we are sleepwalking into problems.
All right, the Nigerian Immigration Service on Tuesday, for those who are asking, in Abuja reacted to a global ranking that placed the Nigerian passport at 98th out of 199 countries below other African countries such as Malawi, Niger, Chad, Zimbabwe, Uganda, and the Gambia, and saying, well, we do not accept this. How is it so bad? He said, although it welcomed the ranking, it's more concerned with Nigerian passport compliance with global standard of International Civil Aviation Organization. We'll give you more of the detail a little later. Bivan is here for the news. Let's take a break. The roundtable continues in a bit.